I want to start out by asking you all if you know what an oxymoron is. If you do, raise your hand. Quite a few. I was surprised. Anyway, things like a fine mess, or how about this one? Crystal's not here, but a little pregnant. I thought I would take a quick look online because I had this thing, the oxymorons, for some reason. So I found a site called Oxymoron List, and I was really shocked. It had one for every letter of the alphabet. There were 82 just under the letter A. Thousands of them. I never knew. I'm going to have to go back and look at those. Here's one I used in the military, Army Intelligence. Another one I use with my pastor friends is a short sermon. Speaking of short sermons, I want to kind of share with you that you're not going to be here too long today. My notes aren't that long, and I'll try to speak as fast as I can. But if you got a roast in the oven, sorry. Anyway, a few weeks ago, the pastor asked me if I would preach this morning. And I thought to myself, I don't know, my knees were shaking. But then I thought, yeah, I can do that. You know, I've preached before. In fact, I've preached four times before. And this is the fourth time. So if with my knees shaking a little bit, we'll get through this. God gave me something to talk to you about. I told Pastor Steve about a week ago that he hadn't given me anything. And I was wondering, well, you know, I've been praying here, God, you know, let me know what you want me to say this morning. And all of a sudden, I was in my vehicle having lunch, and the word addiction just popped in my mind. Now, you got to know that I don't sit around and talk about or think about words like addiction. It's just a word you don't normally put in your brain. So I knew that God put that in my brain. I thought to myself, well, what do you want me to speak about on addiction? And not long after that, I prayed about it, and as soon as I prayed, I started getting all these thoughts about addictions. And I started thinking, wow, this is a pretty serious thing. If you don't like the word addiction, you might want to interject habitual sin, if that word's a little strong for you. So my title today is, Are You Suffering from an Addiction or a Habitual Sin? We're going to have to look at ourselves this morning. God put this on my heart. It's not Roy Radke speaking. I know there's some issues here. I know we all have problems. And I'm sure that there's addictions here. Let's pray for a minute. Father, I just want to right now ask you, Lord, to help us face this issue. Lord, you've given me these things to say, and I know you have. And I just pray, Lord, as I give this message, that you'll use me as an instrument, Lord. You'll open my mind and my mouth. Help it be to your glory, Lord, not to my own. Not for any vanity or anything else, just because you want me to speak. And I want to say what you want me to say. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves this morning. If we have areas that we need to look at, to deal with it today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we first hear the word addiction, I think drugs and alcohol are probably the first to come in your mind. And many of you tend to say to yourselves, you know, I don't have any problems here. I'm okay. I don't do drugs. I don't do alcohol or whatever. So you kind of say, well, there's no problem here. But let's look at what Webster says about addiction. Here's the actual definition of addiction according to Webster's. To devote or surrender oneself to something habitually or obsessively. Let me read that one more time. To devote or surrender oneself to something habitually or obsessively. So we can find ourselves addicted to many vices these days. Addictions can fall into many categories. And some of them are conscious and some of them are unconscious. Let's look at a couple of them. There's bad habits. That probably covers a lot of areas. There's drugs. There's lust. There's alcohol. There's anger. There's vengeance. There's politics. You ever know anybody addicted to politics? That's all they ever talk about? There's gossiping. Ooh. There's selfishness. There's gluttony. How about sweets? That's one of mine. I just got a very serious talk from my doctor last week, and he told me my blood sugar is way too high. And he says, if you don't do something about it, you're not going to be around to eat a donut anymore. So I'm going to ask you, church, if you see me with a donut in my hands, grab it and throw it in the trash. Because I can't have those sweets anymore. All carbs. No, I can't have carbs. So sweets can become that. Gambling. Sexual sins. Immorality. You know, these are just a few. I have no doubt that if I asked for everybody in this room to throw some at me, this list would more than double. We all suffer from some type of a habitual sin or addiction. Remember when I first gave my testimony a while back, I talked about being an alcoholic. I was addicted to alcohol at that time. Not then, but in my past. And I remember when I think back to that, when I was just old enough to drink, that I would have a beer after work. I worked as a hod carrier. Anybody know what a hod carrier is? Yeah, some of you do. Anyway, my dad was a stonemason and a block mason. And a hod carrier, what he does is mixes all the cement and brings everything the mason needs. Block, stone, steel, everything. It's kind of hard on your back. That's why I have a bad back today. So after work, you know, I thought I was pretty hot and tired. I'd have a cold beer. And it sounded pretty good. No harm. That beer kind of gave me a buzz. And I liked that feeling. I was a Christian then, but kind of new in the Lord. And I didn't think it caused any problems. And after a few weeks, it did not give me a buzz anymore. And I started having two beers. And three. And four. And a six-pack. And a case. When I quit drinking in 1994... I was drinking a case of beer a day plus a fifth of alcohol on the side. Pretty serious. Got to that point. I was very addicted. Started out innocent, but it didn't end there. I praise God today because He totally removed alcohol from me in 1994, August 19th. That's almost 20 years this August. Thank you. I wasn't serving God in my life then. I was a Christian, but I was not very dedicated. How could I be dedicated? I had a very bad habit, alcohol. It got very tiring, always trying to cover the bases, always trying to hide my addiction. I got worn out trying to do all that, covering the bases all the time. I'd come home, the wife would say, "How many beers do you have today?" And I'd go, "Two." That was the standard answer, two. It's probably more like 200. Anyway, it just got so unbearing, and I'm so glad that I don't have that in my life anymore. I hardly ever read my Bible then, and then only prayed when I was in trouble or I needed something. I was very guilty. When you have a habitual sin, it makes you feel guilty. And there's probably people in this room today that feel guilty about what they're doing. So I've seen in my life there's two things that can cause you to struggle in your Christian life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Paul also says that we should put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes in Ephesians 6:11. So the first thing I feel that we do to allow an addiction or a habitual sin to start is we stop reading God's Word. We stop reading God's Word. I say this slowly because we slowly stop reading. You know, you might miss a day a week and you think, oh, that's nothing. Then all of a sudden it's a couple of days. And before you realize it, you have stopped reading your Bible every day. Quit doing it. Now, what does that do? First of all, you haven't put on your full armor of God. Just remember, Satan is crafty, he's sneaky, and he's just waiting to catch you. He'll put all kinds of enticements in your life, temptations to keep you from reading God's word. Satan knows that if you stop reading God's word, he can get in. You have opened the door for him. Remember what I just said about the whole armor. Well, part of that armor is reading God's word. Let's turn to that passage right now. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. Ephesians 6. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. I'm reading from the NIV. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So how important is it to read your Bible? Very. I'm sure Pastor Neely would say very, very. So, what happens? How does this, when we don't put on the full armor and we're just wide open, what happens? Distractions start. I want to just share a couple of distractions I've had this week. I couldn't believe it. And this is an unusual week for me. This doesn't happen every week. But I know that somebody knew that I was going to give the message today. So he loaded him on me. Monday, Edna, my mother-in-law, who lives with us and we take care of her, had a mini stroke. So Tuesday, she was admitted to the hospital. But she's back home now and doing okay. Wednesday, I got a very large locksmith job that I had to finish. That job ran into Thursday. And on Thursday, I received another large job that took most of Friday. Saturday, I teach a men's Bible study, which took a long time to prep for, and now it's Sunday. It came too fast. So now, you know, all these things are, some of them are good, some of them aren't. I need the work. But I can clearly see that I had many obstacles thrown in front of me this week to keep me from reading and preparing for this message today. He tries all the time to unfocus us at times, and he picks at us. Little things. You don't realize, and all of a sudden, boom, you've had it. I remember when I was younger, being raised in a Christian home. My parents were both Christians. We had to read a devotional called The Family Altar. It's kind of like the Daily Bread is today. And we couldn't do anything until we sat down to read. And as a younger person, I had a problem with that. And we read from the King James Version, and getting through all those these and thous and you name it, it was totally boring to me. And there's times I just went nuts trying to get through that half hour of reading. I had a really hard time reading God's Word, and that kind of carried into my life. Until in the 70s, they came out with a Living Bible. A lot of you remember that. Here's my 1967 version of the New Testament. It's called Reach Out, the Living New Testament. I've put a new back on it. Some of the pages are falling out, but it's still here. This Bible was very popular with the youngsters in my day. Kind of dates me. I shouldn't even say that. In the 70s, it was very popular, and everybody had one. And the young people could understand it because the these and the thous were out of it. How many had that version, the Living Bible, when you're younger? Yeah, you know what it is then. So my first thing to you as a young person or a new believer is find you a Bible that you feel comfortable with, one that's written the way you would like. There's a lot of versions out now. I'm not advocating the Living Bible. I'm advocating that you find a version that you feel good about. If you like the King James and you read out of that, power to you. But if that's a burden and that holds you back from reading God's Word, then find a different version that you feel comfortable with. The second thing is find a good time. A lot of us have a hard time. We struggle with finding a quiet time with God. I find for me it's in the morning when I'm fresh, after I've had a couple cups of coffee. Yes, another addiction. Anyway, I'm ready then, and then I'm prepared, and I feel relaxed and rested. And then I can talk to God. I can read His Word, and my heart opens up. And many times the Holy Spirit gets into me, and I cry about things, and I share with God my life. You need to have that time. You need to have a private time with God. And once you get that time and you set it, then don't let anybody bother that time. Protect it. Set it aside. Tell your family, tell your friends, this is my time to be with God. This is my time to feed and to get fed. Remember how important it is to read your Bible. If you're not going to do that, or you don't do it now, you got a problem. The second thing we do is we stop praying. It's hard to pray when you got the guilt of a habit, or you got the guilt of a sin that's taken over your life. For some reason, we don't want to pray about it. I don't know why it is. I think we're embarrassed, or we feel so guilty that we can't even talk to God about it. And this is kind of the heart of the whole thing, praying. It's so important to pray. You have to have communication with God. You have to talk to Him. He wants to hear from you. Remember when you first got saved. Remember when you first accepted Jesus into your life. You sat there. You felt compelled to go up front. You felt, I need to accept Jesus. I need Him in my life. What was the first thing you did? You prayed. You prayed and you asked God to come into your life. That was the first thing you ever did with God, is you prayed to Him. And that was the first beginning of your prayer life. So from that day, you started talking to God on a regular basis. Hopefully, you kept that prayer time and you defended it, and you still do it today. But some of you don't. Some of you have gotten away from prayer. I know that. I feel that. What causes that? What causes you to not have a prayer life? Little three-letter word. Anybody know what it is? Sin. Thank you. More specifically, unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin, I believe, is basically the sin that you haven't bothered to confess to God that you're doing, whatever it is. For some reason, you haven't confessed it. You don't want to confess it. Either you like doing it, or you're too guilty to confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 32:5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. David speaking. When we cover up sin, we don't face it, and we don't ask for forgiveness. And you know what that does? It becomes a barrier between God and us. It becomes a wall. That wall grows higher and higher and higher. And pretty soon, we don't even want to talk to God anymore. We don't go to church anymore, and we give up. We're too guilty. We think to ourselves, I can't talk to God. I got this problem, or I'm involved with this or that. Again, Satan has a heyday with unconfessed sin. He loves it. Listen, church, we all sin every day. We need to realize this. I sin, you sin, Pastor Steve sins, Pastor Neely sins. We all sin. And I'd be willing to see a show of hands right now to anyone that hasn't sinned in the last couple days. Is there anybody here? I don't see any hands. So that tells you, you know you sin. We all sin. The problem is we don't confess it. We got to confess it. We got to get it out in the open. Address it. Don't hide it. When you ask God to forgive you, He does just that. He forgives you. Kind of cool, really, when you think about it. So when you have unconfessed sin in your life, you need to talk to God about it. You need once again to open that door of communication that you had when you first got saved. He wants to hear from you. He loves you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. What a beautiful thing. And you know what? Bottom line, he already knows what you did or what you're doing. He sees all. He already knows it. And yet we still go through all these little games of hiding and not confessing and this and that. I don't understand that. I guess it's just our human nature. But once you ask, it's history. Once you've asked for forgiveness, God will give it to you. The Bible says in Psalm 103:12, and you know how far that is? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. What a beautiful thing. I think of all the things that I've done in my past when I was drinking. I did horrible things in my life, and I don't have to be held accountable for them. They're gone. They're behind me. They're way back there somewhere. I don't need to look at them. I don't need to bring them up. That's beautiful. I don't understand how we can't just give things to God when we have problems. We fight it. He wants to hear from you. He loves you. And all you got to say is, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for the things that I did. Will you please forgive me? And once you did, once you do that, it's a done deal. He forgets it. You forget it. Don't take it back. Forget it. So as I close, it's kind of short, I know, but as I close, I want the musicians to come up. Camille, Pastor Neely, would you come up? Before we sing this closing hymn, I want to ask you to examine your heart. Now is the time to examine your heart. I don't want anybody to leave this room today with unconfessed sin that has a burden with it, that it's tearing you down, it's hurting your witness. Something's got to be done. It's got to be done now. Are you tired of living this way as a Christian? It takes a lot out of you. I know. I was there. You've been burdened with this sin for a long time. You know it's holding you back from a beautiful relationship with God. You've tried to quit by yourself, but have failed time after time. Remember that first relationship you had with when you first got saved? You long to have that back. You want to be bold and talk to others about Jesus, but sin is just holding you back. I'm telling you that God will restore your relationship with him right now. All you have to do is just ask for forgiveness. Then that wall I told you about will be destroyed. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now is the time to talk to God about this, not tomorrow, not the next day, right now. Now you can start all over. You can break this pattern of unconfessed sin. I'm going to ask you to make this change in your life right now. And I'm going to ask you to come up front and pray with me or Pastor Neely or Camille. Get right with God now.